go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 in your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And if you've got a Bible there from the pew in front of you, that's page number 1239. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Well, you know, here in America, we were, the country itself was built to be free. Country was established on the premise of finding freedom. In fact, it says at the top of your handout that the 4th of July is focused on our country's freedom. Our country's freedom. And many times the foundation of our country and the purpose behind its formation is just grossly overlooked. The first settlers that were seeking freedom to worship the Lord, these people were bound by a government and a corrupt church that was rooted in false teaching and personal gain. They were in bondage. And today we've been provided a place to live in freedom. Some are going to argue that, you know, we don't have true freedom, but the truth remains that millions still seek to come to America because it's known as the land or the home of the what? Free. And so we're still recognized as a country with freedom. But however, the world, and it says in your handout, including America, America is still struggling to live a life free from bondage. But not bondage to a country, but to sin. A life free from the bondage of sin. Now, bondage means to make servant. You have your place there in 2 Timothy. We're going to come right there, but I want you to flip back just a few pages to Galatians chapter 4. And I want to show you a verse here in your Bible that deals with this thing of bondage. Galatians chapter 4, if you would flip back there real quickly, in verse 3. Paul writes to the church, and he says, "Even so we, when we were children, were in what? Bondage." He says, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world." That word bondage means to make servant. And actually, Webster defines it as this: restraint of a person's liberty by force. And I want to do an illustration. Ethan, come on up here. Ethan's one of my nephews. I've got four of them on my sister's side. And this is Ethan, who will actually be 15 years old tomorrow. He's got a birthday tomorrow, so amen. You're excited because he's 15. Mike's not so sure about him learning to drive, but it's getting there. So, but Ethan, I want to hold you. If I hold Ethan in bondage, now because I'm bigger and stronger than him, he can't get out, right? Try to get out, Ethan. All right. So I've got him in bondage. Against his will, he can't do anything. And the bondage that I hold him in is one that's greater than he. He can't do anything about it. But you know what? There's probably somebody that can help set him free. In fact, somebody who is stronger than I and somebody who has a love deeper for him than I. And that's his dad. So Mike, come on up. Yeah. Just for illustration purposes, we're going to pretend he's stronger than me. So, now Mike, you try to set him free. As the father can come in, he can break free. There you go. He can break free his son, you know, Ethan, from the bondage that I held him in. All right, give him a hand. Amen. A good way to illustrate, he was held in bondage. And they're not leaving because they don't like the preaching. They were here for the first service. I had them stick around so I could use them for the illustration again. But as I held Ethan in bondage, he could do nothing to get set free. But there was one that could set him free. One that was stronger than the one that had him in bondage. And one that had a love and a desire to set him free. And so his father steps in and is able to set him free. Now, here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, go back over there to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to see, as Paul writes to Timothy, his son in the faith, he calls him. As he writes to him, he talks to him here in about a time that is to come. He says in verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. He says in verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, and notice this part, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He's showing a picture here to Timothy in the previous verses before verse 7 of these people that have been held in complete and total bondage. Bondage by Satan, bondage into this world, and a bondage that they cannot get free from. And it says, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth because of their love for themselves, because of their high-mindedness. And there is a bondage that we are all rooted in. Paul said over there in Galatians a moment ago that we are born in bondage as children. But there is something that can set us free. And it says in your handout that every person must seek to live a life free from the bondage of sin. They can't do it on their own. Ethan, a moment ago, he could not break loose on his own. But if he sought for one to set him free, there was only one that could make him free. And it says in your handout, how do you build a life free from the bondage of sin? You see, we all are going to be held bondage into sin. We're born that way. We saw it just a moment ago. But how do we find ourselves to be free from that bondage of sin? We'll find here in the text in 2 Timothy chapter 3, three points. The first one is this, and it says in your handout, you must establish your life on real freedom. On real freedom. When you're building a house or any other dwelling, you have to start with the right foundation. Many of you know that have known me for some time. I'm born and raised here in Daytona, along with my dad who's here. He's born and raised in Daytona. My grandmother over here, born and raised in Daytona, and so on. Many of us were born and raised in Daytona Beach. If you're going to build a house in Daytona Beach, you need to know a few things. You can't just go out and pour a concrete foundation because we live in a state, especially here in Daytona, primarily made of what? Sand, right? And along with being born and raised in Daytona, my dad's a plumbing contractor. My brother-in-law, Mike, that was up here, he's a block mason contractor. There's a lot of the family that deals with construction, or at least in that construction industry. And growing up here, you know that you've got to dig down. You've got to establish a firm foundation by bringing in maybe some fill or something else that can be compacted down. Then you have to bring in rebar, steel, and then you pour the concrete in there, all for the purpose of making sure that you have a firm foundation, a foundation that is true, a foundation that cannot be moved. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 7:26, Jesus taught that the fool builds his house on the sand. He says, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which buildeth his house upon the sand. So we're expected to build on things that are established and that are true. So we would build a house on something that is solid, something that is firm, something that is true, but what about our lives? And it says in your handout that what can you build your life on that will lead to a life free from the bondage of sin? And the answer is truth. Truth. Let me show you. We need to build our lives on truth. The foundation that is solid is sometimes referred to as true. I'm standing on this platform and it's true. It's not giving way. It's solid. In fact, that word true is defined by Webster as pure, faithful, loyal, and get this, free from falsehood. Free from falsehood. If you think about the other religions in the world, they're all based on something that is false. It's not true. There's only one thing in this world that you can base your faith on, and that is one that died, was buried, and rose again. All of the other religions are based on men who were dead, who died, were buried, and are still buried. And are still dead. There's only one that was buried and rose again. And it says in your handout, I want you to get this. It says, truth is what can set a person free. Truth is what sets a person free. Jesus said this in John chapter 8, verse 32 in your handout. He says, the truth, encircle those two words, the truth shall do what? Make you free. Underline that phrase, make you free. He says, the truth shall make you free, Jesus tells him. And the logical question would be, okay, well then where is truth? If the truth is going to make me free, where's the truth? If I told Pastor Rich, I got you a new car. The only way that you're going to get to drive that car is to have the keys. So the next logical question is, where's the key? So if the truth is going to make me free, the question is, well, where's the truth? Well, look at your handout. A relationship with Jesus Christ is the source of truth. In fact, right there underneath that, you see John chapter 8, verse 36. Just a few verses later, Jesus says this. If the Son, encircle those two words, the Son, if the Son therefore shall do what? Make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So the truth make you free, well, the Son shall make you free. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is the way and the what? The truth and the life. You need to build your life on something that is true, and the only thing you'll find that is true is Jesus Christ. And we need to have the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need to have the knowledge that brings that truth. Jesus said in verse 32, the beginning of that verse in John chapter 8, verse 32, he says this, and ye shall know the truth. The only way to know the truth is to know where it resides, and that's in Christ. In fact, the Bible says this, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, let me just read the part of it for you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, how do I have the knowledge of truth? The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, and if you think about that verse, if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, then is it no wonder why America and the rest of the world is looking so much like what Paul said there in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7? Why? Because we're getting away from the knowledge of God. You take God out of the schools, guess what? There's no knowledge. If we can't educate people so that they know the Lord and have a good, healthy, loving fear of the Lord, where's the beginning of the wisdom if there is no fear of the Lord? If we've taken God out of public gatherings, at least we can't pray to God, you know, many times to the one true name, Jesus Christ. A lot of times that we'll hear prayers uttered in public, they take away the name of Jesus Christ and they just use God as a generic, general God. Well, we take God out of these things, and take God out of society, then there's no fear of the Lord. There's no wisdom. Without wisdom, there's no truth, understanding of the truth. When you listen to society and ignore the fact that there is only one true source of freedom, you can't build on anything else. You can't build on that freedom if you don't understand that there is only one true source. Our foundation is the first step in building a life that is free from that bondage of sin. But the second thing in your handout is this. Once you've established a relationship with Jesus Christ and you have a firm foundation, the second thing is you must frame your life with the Bible. You must frame your life with the Bible. A solid foundation is required to build anything that you want to last, but once you've got the foundation, you've got to work to have a solid frame. You've got to build. Your life is the beginning, it says in your handout. Your life is being framed daily by the things that influence you. Your life is being framed daily by the things that influence you. Many great people of God in the Bible were led away from God. They were great people, used of God, but then they were led away because of the influences they allowed in their lives. In fact, a great example, and for sake of time, I'll just flip over to it. There's a man that's written in the Bible that is known for having great wisdom. He wrote some of the books of the Bible to us that are known for wisdom. His name was Solomon. And for a guy with so much wisdom, there's a verse here that has always perplexed me in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 3. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. But listen to what this led to. These were influences in his life. And it says at the end of verse 3, and his wives turned away his heart. And it came to pass that Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. You see, at one point, Solomon was seeking after God. Asked God for wisdom, God granted it. But then he got involved with all these other women of different backgrounds and different gods that they worshiped, and they influenced him. And their influence on him turned him away from God, turned his focus and his attention away. You see, we need to be careful about what we allow to influence our lives. It says in your handout, going back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and looking at the life of Timothy, from a young age, God influenced Timothy because Timothy was being taught the Bible. He was being taught Scripture. In fact, if you would, go back over to chapter 1 for a second. If you would, look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. You see, the Bible influenced Timothy, but it was because his mother and his grandmother were influenced by the Bible. In verse 5 it says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded in thee also." Now go back over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice verse 14. Paul tells Timothy, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast what? Learned." Well, Timothy learned two things. One, that there's only one true source of truth, and that's Jesus Christ. And then the other thing, if we go on and read verse 14, he says, "The things that thou hast learned and thou hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them," both of Paul, and then also the foundations, because look at verse 15, that he got from his mom and his grandmother. "And that from a child thou hast known the" what? "Holy Scriptures." And those Holy Scriptures, Paul goes on to say, "which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus," the only source of truth. So here we see that Timothy knew the one true source of freedom, and then his life was being framed by the Bible. What frames your life? What influences your life on a daily basis? What things do you allow into your life that influence you? Let's talk about a few. What about television? What kind of television programs do you watch? How are they influencing you, your family? What about books, magazines, websites, social media that you follow, and relationships that you're allowing in your life? What will influence those who look at you for guidance? Some of you in here, you're a grandparent, you're a parent, you're an older sibling with somebody who looks up to you. What you allow to influence you, guess what? It's influencing them too. And who do you have in your life that's influencing you? Who are you looking after? You see, Lois and Eunice had a faith that was influenced by Scripture. They had a faith that was unfeigned. And guess what? It influenced Timothy. And it gave him a faith that was unfeigned. It gave him a life that was being framed by Scripture. The shows you watch, the music you listen to, the friends you talk to, the hobbies, the websites, the social media. Is it doing anything to frame your life in accordance to God's Word? Is it doing anything to encourage you in your walk with the Lord? Or is it only causing you to love the world more? You see, think about Solomon. He was a man of great wisdom. But yet the influences he allowed in his life greatly devastated his walk with the Lord, his focus on God. The influences we allow in our lives are going to dictate what kind of framework we're building our life with. It says in your handout, and this is one of the great, great things that we see in God's Word, it's never too late to remove the wrong influences in your life. It's never too late to remove those influences. Paul urged the church in Corinth to purge themselves of the wicked that was influencing them. The church in Corinth had gotten away from the foundations. You know, their foundation was sure. Paul wrote to them in 1 Corinthians and called them saints in Christ. All right, they were believers. They didn't lose that. Their foundation was in Christ, and that couldn't change. But their framework was being influenced by their own desires and their own wants and other people's interpretations. And so he wrote to the church and he urged them to purge. Look here at 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 8. He says, your glorying is what? It's not good. It's not right. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, he says. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven. Get rid of it. The things you're influencing and allowing your life to be influenced by, that's not godly, get rid of it. He goes on to say that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. He says, but with the unleavened bread of, and what's the last phrase here? Sincerity and truth. It goes right back to truth again, too. We need to purge what is false, purge what is of this world, and get back to what is truth. We need to frame our lives with God's word. The one source of truth that has never been able to be put away. Many, many people have given their lives and much blood has been shed to try to get rid of the Bible. But here it still stands. Because it is the only source of true teaching. Because it's built upon the truth himself, Jesus Christ. So we need to have a firm foundation that is established with truth. We need to have a life that is framed with the Bible. But number three, the third thing that we see here in 2 Timothy 3 is that you must continue until the job is done. You must continue until the job is done. Now going back to the building for a moment, if you had a great foundation, somebody came and they built the strongest walls around the outside of that building. Roof on it from the outside, that house was beautiful. But as soon as you walked in, there was nothing but bare walls, no sheetrock, electrical wires hanging out, plumbing pipes sticking up, no toilets, no faucets, no showers. And the house was what? Incomplete. Would you be okay with it? No. You'd go back to that contractor, wring his neck, and tell him to get there and finish the work. You need to come back and complete the job. And we must continue our lives walking with the Lord until the job is done. We can't ever think that we've arrived, that we've made it. There's nothing more to be done. In fact, it says in your handout, there are always going to be repairs, modifications, and additions being made to the Christian life until Christ returns. If you're a homeowner, you know there's always repairs. If you're married, you know there's always modifications. And if you have kids, you know there's always going to be additions. Okay? It's just a growing process. Well, as the believer, your life is much the same. There's going to be things that need to be repaired. There's going to be things that need to be modified. There's going to be things that need to be added until Christ returns. God, it says in your handout, desires you to serve him. He desires you to serve him. But he desires you to serve him until the work is done. I want you to go for a moment to Hebrews chapter 12. You're in 2 Timothy. And remember, Paul is telling Timothy, continue. Continue thou in the things. Don't stop, Timothy. I need you to keep going. In fact, the Lord needs you to keep going. And over in Hebrews chapter 12, we see this again, this idea of continuing and not stopping as we live our lives unto the Lord. He says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with what? Patience, Running with patience means you're continuing without stopping. You're running with patience, and he says, the race that is set before us. And then verse 2, where is our focus as we run this race? Looking unto Jesus, the author and what? Finisher. He finished. He finished the work on the cross, was buried, and rose again. He's the finisher of our faith. The joy that was set before him led him to do what? He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. God desires you. He wants to use you, and he desires you to serve him until the work is done. Look at your handout, 2 Timothy 2:21. If any man therefore purge himself, again, going back to what we saw in the last point, getting rid of those things that are influencing my life in the wrong way, and I need to be framed by the Scriptures. And if I'll purge myself, if any man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. God desires for us to be meet, be acceptable for his use. Ephesians 2:10, it says in your handout, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, there's the truth, unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, and neither one of those verses tells us a period of time of walking them until you've reached this point in your spiritual life. Walk until you're this age. No. It's known that we are to walk in those good works. We are to be used for those good works until his return, or until we go home to meet him in the heavens. Jesus told the Jews who believed that in John 8:31, he says, if ye continue, is the terms that he's using. If ye continue, don't stop, but continue. You see, starting is always good. It's good when you start a project. But I know at my house, starting is good, but Colleen's much happier when it's what? Finished. So starting is good, but finishing is great. And God desires for us to finish. And to finish with his glory in mind. Good works to glorify him. You know, we must know him as our Master and Savior because he's the truth. We have to know him. He's got to be the foundation. But then we need to have a life that is framed with the Scriptures, and we need to purge the things that are contrary, that go against the Bible. Get rid of them. And then we need to remain ready. We need to be steadfast, continuing in the faith. So if Paul, go back over to 2 Timothy. Let me show you real quickly before we're done. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 3, when he told Paul, or Paul told Timothy in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That from a child thou known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, unless you're sitting here and you're perfect, then verse 16 accounts for us too, that it's good for reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. We haven't arrived. We must continue until the job is done. We live in a world that is seeking to bind every person to a life of selfishness, self-centeredness, seeking to satisfy personal desires, which is just leading us all bound up into sin. Praise the Lord, it says at the bottom of your handout, that Christ came to set you free. And if we know Christ, then we know that we can live a life free indeed. Amen, church.